Hello, I'm Kathy Davidson, and I'd like to welcome you to our women's meeting. Let's begin with prayer. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. Open our ears that we can hear. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you. And our Father, let us only see Jesus. Let us only see Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn with me to 1 Peter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 1. Likewise, you wives, women, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation, the behavior of the wife. While they behold your chaste behavior, conversation coupled with fear. Notice it says there, behold your behavior, not your preaching. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And we know that that meek and quiet spirit is the meek and quiet Jesus in us. When we got Jesus in us, when we can walk in the gospel, when we can walk with Jesus, we will have a meek and a quiet spirit, just like Jesus, until you're dealing with the devil. And then just like Jesus, you become a raging warrior. And it's so fun. If you will turn with me to Romans 10, we're going to go back over and look at a couple verses again. And like I've said before, and I know some of you listening for the first time or just have started listening to me, why does she keep repeating verses? Because we don't put the verses in our head. I am not ministering to you as a teacher from head to head. I am ministering by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God talks to the heart. It does not talk to your head. You know, it doesn't do any good to take notes. It doesn't. It has to go to the heart. That's what we said in the beginning. Open our hearts like you did unto Lydia. Lydia heard in her heart. Down by the river, she didn't have notes. But God opened her heart and she could hear. So back to Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call? Well, let's first begin in verse 13. For whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That is, if you're in China, if you are in Korea, if you are in Libya, if you are in Chile, if you are in Brazil, if you are in Nicaragua, if you are in Canada, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then it says, how then shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? So you have to believe on that name, Lord Jesus, when you call on him. And it says, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? So you have to hear about that man, Jesus, so you can call on him and he answer. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And who sends them? This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Do you know who sent the Apostle Paul? God did. Jehovah did. Through Jesus. God sent Paul. Not Paul's organization. Certainly not the Pharisees that Paul was under at one time. They didn't send him. No, it was God that sent him. And that's who has to be sent here. It has to be sent by God. So if you're listening to somebody who isn't sent by God, it's not doing you a whole lot of good. It says right here, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Here's a hint. If the one you're listening to has been sent, here's your hint. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Is the one you're listening to, is the church that you go to every Sunday preaching the gospel of peace? Is it preaching the gospel of peace? Because it says right here, if he's sent by God, that's what he's going to do. And that's what she is going to do. She is going to preach the gospel of peace. And we'll go on and find out what that gospel of peace is. And bring glad tidings of good things. Of good things. I've been in a couple churches that the sermon that day was not good things. The sermon was basically a threat. You know what? God doesn't threat. He preaches. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Notice, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Where did they get the gospel? From the one that was sent. They have not all obeyed that gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? And we know that is Isaiah 53, which is the gospel. Which is the gospel. So now we have a preacher that has been sent, and he's preaching the gospel. What does that do for us? The next verse. So then faith, that thing that we need. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what was that word that they're talking about here? The gospel. He's talking about the gospel. Where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the gospel. Faith comes from hearing the gospel. We have been taught, and I have shared, where you have to read that word of God out loud. You have to read it out loud. Why? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Not taking notes. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The gospel. The gospel. That's why we tell you, you need to read the Psalms out loud. And you know what you'll find when you start reading those Psalms out loud? They're prayers. They're the prayers of David and of Solomon and Moses and others. You know what's hidden in those prayers? The gospel. You will find that God will open your eyes and open your ears, and you will hear the gospel in the Psalms. And we say, read the New Testament out loud. Read it out loud. Why? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the gospel. Hearing the gospel. Not hearing the Old Testament. Not hearing Joshua, unless the Spirit of God is ministering that. Not hearing those things. What's it say? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the gospel. The gospel. That's where your faith will grow. That's what ministers faith to you. Hearing the gospel. Now, turn with me to, let's go to Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 16. Paul speaking. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul says here, ashamed that is not afraid to walk in it. Not afraid to use it. Not afraid to live by it. I am not afraid. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why is he not afraid to live in it? Next verse. For it is. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Acts says the Holy Ghost will come. And it says the Holy Ghost and power. The Holy Ghost and power. The Holy Ghost is not the power. The power is right here. The power is in the gospel. The power is in the gospel. Lord, open their eyes and let them see where the power is. The power is in the gospel. The Holy Ghost doesn't have the power. The power is in the gospel. The Holy Ghost will bring it to you. But the power is in the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. Whatever you need, to everyone that believeth, you got to believe it. To everyone that believeth. And notice it says, to everyone that believeth it. Not just the preacher. Not just the elders. Not just the Sunday school teachers, to everyone that believeth. I have seen my children believe the gospel and God come through. Oh, he loves to do that for children. the gospel to the Jew first, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, for therein, now we know it's the power of God and the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is in the gospel. The righteousness of God. Well, what does it mean to be righteous? The easiest way to remember it is right standing with God. Right standing with God. To be able to stand up with God in God's face, in God's presence. To be able to do that, you have to be righteous. You have to be righteous. Righteousness. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Faith to faith. Not step to step. Not class to class. Not degree to degree. Faith to faith. Faith to faith. You know, you can get all the pretty gold stars in Sunday school and it not do you any good. You have to have the faith in the gospel. All right, and it says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul speaking says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. By faith. Faith in what? We know that already. Faith in the gospel. Faith in the gospel. Well, you say now, some of you, well, what is the gospel? Do you know the bona fide definition? The exact definition of the gospel is in the word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was taught things were gray in the Bible. You know who taught me that? People that didn't have eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear. All your answers are in the word if you will ask God and seek them. You need the Holy Ghost, folks. You need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that reveals it to you. You need the Holy Ghost. You say, well, you know, what do you mean I need the Holy Ghost? You don't need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. You need to have the Spirit of Jesus in you to do that. But you need the Holy Ghost to walk. You know what? Jesus had to have him. Jesus had to have the Holy Ghost. You better than Jesus? Go look it up. Now, the exact definition, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, Paul again speaking, I declare unto you the gospel. Here we go. Here's the definition. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. How do you stand in the gospel? With your faith. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Do you see that? There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. Paul said he could have preached it to you in vain. He also says, if you keep in memory, if you don't keep it in memory, you're not saved. You're not saved. You got to know that you know that you know that the Spirit of Jesus is in you. Did you know that? You have to know that the Spirit of Jesus is in you. Some of you better get to work. 3, for I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received. Paul received it. He didn't make it up. Which he also received. How? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There is the gospel that Paul preached. There is the gospel that Peter preached. There is the gospel that Jesus preached. There is your gospel. There is what you put your faith in. There is what you listen to get your faith to grow. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And Paul right there was talking about the gospel. You want more faith? Get more gospel in your heart. You want more faith? Then get more gospel in your heart. And you do that by believing it. By listening and hearing it. You know what the wonderful thing about the Spirit of God is? Just like Joel talked about the last hour, there is a spirit of faith. Do you know that Holy Ghost will bring that spirit of faith and he will minister it to you while you're listening to the gospel? Have you ever noticed that? And I'll use my meetings as an example. You listen to my meetings and at the end, your faith is there. Why? Because the Spirit of God was ministering the spirit of faith. Where is that spirit of faith? In the gospel. In the gospel. Now, turn with me to Acts 15. I'm going to read this to us today. It says in John 1, it says, the law came by Moses. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Do you see there are two different ways here? The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. They're separate. They're separate. They are not together. And I want to read a chapter that God revealed to me years ago that blew me away. Oh, it blew me away. When God opened up, I can't believe that this chapter isn't on every billboard in front of every church. When you see chapter 15 of Acts, I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, and certain men, which came down from Judea, this is after the Holy Ghost was given to the Gentiles. It says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Wherein then Paul and Barnabas, Paul is the one that Jesus picked. Paul is the one that Jesus picked to go to the Gentiles. Paul is the one that Jesus revealed the gospel to him. And Paul wasn't there with the original 12. But Jesus had him. He said, and he is a chosen vessel unto me. So he's one of the big guys. One of the first and one of the big guys. Do you know, I think it's 2/3 of the New Testament's written by him. And you know that all scripture is by the Holy Ghost in the man. So God had Paul hand-picked. Actually had him ready to be born. And this is Paul. And let's go on. It says, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Wherein therefore Paul and Barnabas, who was with Paul at the time, had no small dissension and disputation with them. They weren't happy with that. They were not happy with that. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way, notice, this is such a problem in the church that Paul and Barnabas stop the work they're doing and they're going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to meet with the apostles and get this thing solved. This is no little deal here, folks. This is no PTA meeting. They've got a real issue with this. So, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, now they're in Jerusalem, and they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. The apostles were the ones that were with Jesus. For those 3.5 years, the apostles saw Jesus die. And they saw him raised again. This is the apostles. And they were received in the church and the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. So now that they got all of that done, Paul's telling them, this is what happened when we went to the Gentiles. It says, and when they were come, and there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. So now you got Pharisees that are, Pharisees were the strictest followers of the law. They were the orthodox. I mean, they followed that law to the letter and they believed in Jesus. So now they're here at the meeting. And there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, they're in the middle of this church, that it was needful to circumcise the Gentiles and command them to keep the law of Moses. Command them to keep the law of Moses. You know what that was part of it? The Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. You know what they said? Once you get saved, you got to get circumcised and you got to obey the Ten Commandments and the law. That's what the Pharisees were saying. And you know what it says in the very beginning there? Paul and Barnabas weren't happy. They weren't happy. So they're going to the apostles. Oh, to have been there. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider the matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, now who's Peter? Peter is the right-hand man of Jesus. Oh, it says that Paul had his head on Jesus' breast, and how much the Apostle John had his head on Jesus' breast, and how much Jesus loved the Apostle John. But you know who Jesus rode tail with? He rode Peter's tail. He rode Peter's tail. Every time he turned around, he was correcting Peter. Why? Because he knew who Peter was. John didn't take the gospel to the Gentiles. Who did? Peter did. Peter did. And you know, when they were in the garden, and it was Peter and James and John, and Jesus had to fight through to get to the cross, and he looked at them and he said, Peter, I mean, there's three guys there, but who's he talking to? Peter, can't you pray 1 hour? Peter, you know why? Peter was going to be the number one apostle. Peter, when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, who's the one that stood up and talked? It was Peter. It was Peter. The church started with Peter. The church started with Peter speaking in Acts 2. So now we got Peter involved. So now you got the biggies. You've got Paul, and you've got Peter, and you've got the apostles. And they're all at this meeting. And who is the meeting about? Us. Us. Do you know who a Gentile is? It's anybody that's not a Jew. And like I said before, God does not see black and white and green and brown and orange. God does not see that. God doesn't see the black man. He doesn't see the white man. He doesn't see the yellow man. He doesn't see the brown man. All he sees is Jew and Gentile. That's all. And if you got the Jew in you, Jesus in you, then you're a Jew. If you do not, you're a Gentile. But here, the Gentiles have heard the word. And now they're talking about, do the Gentiles have to obey the law? That's the big question. Do the Gentiles have to obey the Ten Commandments and the law? Do they have to get circumcised? Do they have to follow all the precepts? Do they have to do this? And now Peter gets up and talks and says unto them, verse 7, men and brethren, you know how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. The gospel. So what did Peter preach the Gentiles? The gospel. That's what you preach. That's what you're sent to do. You're not sent to preach anything else. Preach the gospel and believe. And believe. So they heard the word of the gospel and they believed it. And God, Peter speaking, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Think about that for a second. Cornelius was a Roman soldier, a bad guy. And God sent Peter to Cornelius' house to preach to him and his friends and relatives the gospel. And while he's preaching the gospel to them, they break out in tongues. They break out in tongues. Peter didn't expect that. But God sure did. Now think about the people that were there that heard the word. None of them was brought up under the law. None of them was brought up under the law. They were, one of them was Roman, at least. There was more than one Roman there. None of them obeyed the Ten Commandments. and yet they got the baptism in the Holy Ghost. None of them followed the law of Moses, and yet they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You see what's going on here? They weren't Jews. None of them in that room, except for Paul and his group, were circumcised. None of them. They heard the word, and God baptized them in the Holy Ghost. And this is what Peter is saying. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them. No difference between us and the Jews. No difference between the Gentile and the Jews, purifying their hearts. How? By faith. By faith. What did Peter preach them? He preached them the gospel. He preached them the gospel. And when they heard that gospel, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost in front of all the Jews that were there. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Peter says, there's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile here. They're both baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do you get that? Do you get that? No, God, and I've taught this from the beginning, God is no respecter of persons. If you've got a friend that's a Jew and you think they're more godly than the one over here that's a Gentile, you missed it. There is no difference. Do you see that? There is no difference. The difference went away in the gospel. The gospel broke down that middle wall between them. Now, let's go back. It says, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you God? Do you see that? Why tempt you God? He's talking to the Pharisees. He's in a meeting of all the apostles, and he says, why tempt you God? This is God's one, number one man now that Jesus has left. Why tempt you God? Teaching the Ten Commandments, teaching them the law. Why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Peter's saying, you teach them the law, you are tempting God. Do you see that? You teach the Ten Commandments, you are tempting God. You're not making him happy. You say, how can that be? Let's read on. It says, but we believe, Peter, a Jew, Paul, a Jew, James, a Jew, that heard and watched the gospel. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Do you see? Peter wasn't saved because he was a Jew. Peter is telling you right here, he was not saved. He is not God's righteous servant because he was a Jew. He was not God's servant because he was a Jew. Why was he? Because by the grace of the Lord Jesus, by the grace of the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved even as they. What is grace? What is grace? I'll remind us what grace is. Grace is something we didn't ask for. We didn't ask for the grace of the Lord Jesus. It is something we don't deserve. We don't deserve what Jesus did for us on the cross. We didn't even want what Jesus did on the cross. But he did it anyway. He did it anyway. Grace. What is the grace of the gospel? The grace of the gospel is that even though you didn't deserve it, Jesus went to the cross in your place. The gospel is that even though you didn't deserve it, Jesus on the cross took all your sicknesses and your diseases on his own body. You didn't ask for it. You didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. The grace of the gospel is that Jesus, while he was on the cross, the Father laid every sin you and I would ever commit on that body of a man. We didn't ask for it. We didn't deserve it, but Jesus did it anyway. That's grace. He did it anyway. He took your sins anyway. He took your sicknesses and diseases anyway. It goes on and it says, even though we didn't deserve it and we didn't ask for it, Jesus became poor. He became poor on that cross so that we might be rich. We didn't ask for it. We didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. He did it anyway. Do you know that that gospel you didn't deserve? I didn't deserve what Jesus did for me. But he did it anyway. Why? Because the Father and Jesus love us. And that was the only way to get us saved. That was the only way God could get his children back, was to send his child to go to the cross. And even though we didn't want it, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we didn't ask for it, Jesus did it anyway. He did it anyway. And the Father is the one that set it all up. The Father set it all up for you, so that he could get you back. And Jesus paid. Jesus died. He died. And like I've said before, you can't kill a God, folks. Jesus died a man. You can't kill a God. Jesus had to die. He was a man, and he died, and he went to hell, and he paid the price for our sins. He paid the price for our unbelief. He paid the price for our disobedience. He paid all the price for us, and the Father saw the travail of Jesus in hell. He saw his only son suffering in hell. He saw his only son suffering in hell for you. And there reached a point after 3 days that God, Jehovah, said, that's enough. That's enough. The sacrifice, Jesus, that you are sacrificing, that's enough. I'm satisfied. I am satisfied. And God raised Jesus from the dead. Get him out. It's enough. It's enough. That's grace. So do you realize that it is a gift? Grace. Grace. You didn't deserve it. You didn't ask for it. God gave it to you anyway. Do you know that if your salvation is anything else, it is not the gospel? If you think you deserve anything that you get from God, you don't have the gospel in your heart. Do you realize that what Peter is saying here, that even Peter didn't obey the law anymore because he had faith in what Jesus did for him? Do you realize that not eating pork isn't going to save you one single bit if you're a Gentile? If you're a Jew, you better talk to God. But if you are a Gentile, not eating pork is not going to save you. What saved you? Jesus on the cross, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what saved you. Do you realize that you can't help enough old ladies across the street to get you saved? Jesus is the one that saved you. And you're already saved. You can't do anything else to satisfy the Father. You cannot do anything else to satisfy God. Jesus already satisfied the God for you. Sometimes that sounds so simple, and yet it is so difficult to walk. The only way you are saved is through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Not working on the Sabbath day isn't going to get you anywhere with God. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You don't even know when the Sabbath is. It's amazing how many of us Gentiles think if we obey the law, we're going to please God. Peter said right here, why tempt you, God? Why tempt you, God, trying to follow the law? When Peter said we couldn't do it and our fathers couldn't do it. Well, then how are we saved? Through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus. So what is our job? What do we have to do then? If we can't work for this, if we can't do things to make God happy, what's our job? Turn with me to John 6, and we'll finish there. John 6. My Bible's pages are sticking. Forgive me. All right, verse 29, John 6, Jesus speaking. He had just finished feeding them. 28. Let's go back a little bit further. Let's go back to 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Your tummy's full, and now you're happy. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him has the Father sealed. And then they said unto Jesus, what shall we do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, if we're not supposed to follow the law, if we're not supposed to be under the Ten Commandments, then what do you want us to do? He says it right here. This is the work of God, that you believe on him that he sent. There's where your labor is put into. Believing the gospel. Believing what Jesus already did for you. There is where you strive. There is where you labor. And you strive in prayer. And you strive reading the word out loud. You strive getting that faith, that gospel in your heart. There's your work. That's what your work is. Nothing that you deserve, you just believe. But sometimes that believing takes work. And like they said this morning, and like I've shared, you need the activator. For it to work, for the word of God to work, you need the activator. And that activator is faith. When your faith that has been listening to the gospel, and you know that it says, Jesus says, that you plant a seed and you know not how, but it grows. And you know that's exactly what faith does. You keep reading the word of God out loud, using all the faith that you can muster, even if you don't think you got any, you still try. You still work. And that seed in here starts to grow. And you don't know how. And day and night, you're reading that word, and one day, you notice something's different. Your words are stronger. Your prayers are stronger. And your prayers are getting answered. Why? Why? Your faith in the gospel is growing. And it's from faith to faith. You're not going to cure cancer until you can get the cold off of you. You're not going to believe God for $1 million until you can believe God for 15. But it grows. And it grows by hearing the gospel. It grows by reading that word out loud. It grows by meditating on the gospel. It grows by preaching yourself the gospel. It grows by listening to tapes like these where the spirit of faith is ministers. That's where it grows. Amen? Now, you want this? You want everything you've ever needed provided by Jesus that provided it for you, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. You must get the Spirit of Jesus in you. And you know what? It is simple. Jesus already did all the work. All you have to do is get him in you. And how do you do that? Repeat after me. Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord. Lead me. Guide me. Fix me. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Anybody need prayer? Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you? What can God do for you? Stand up. What do you need?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for your grace right now. I thank you for that spirit of grace poured into her. Father, I thank you for that grace. Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Let me hear you pray in tongues. Okay. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for her. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for that spirit of grace. Father, I thank you for that spirit of grace in her right now. Father, I thank you for that spirit of grace poured into her right now. I thank you for that spirit of grace. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for that spirit of grace poured into her right now. That spirit that heals, that spirit that forgives. That spirit that justifies, that spirit that sets her free. Father, I thank you for that spirit right now. I thank you for the spirit of grace, 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 what we don't deserve. I thank you, that spirit of grace now in her. Father, I thank you for grace, that spirit of grace, that spirit of grace. Father, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. There's something here I'm just trying to hear. I thank you for that grace. I thank you, Father, I thank you, 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 I thank you. I break the devil's power over her life right now. I break the devil's power over her right now. I break your power, Satan. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power over her right now in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power, Satan. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break, yes, I do. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power over her. I break your power over her. I break your power over her. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power. 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 I break your power over her. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power now. Yes, you. I break your power now over her. You can't have her. She's been bought with the blood. She's been bought with the blood. I break your power. She's been bought with the blood. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power Jesus' name. I give thanks, Jesus, I thank you. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Your life's going to be different. I give thanks, Jesus. I give thanks, Jesus. Anyone else? I give thanks, Jesus, I thank you. 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 I need to pray for you. Stand up. Father, I thank you for this man. Father, I thank you for your power on him. Father, I thank you that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead be on him. Open his eyes that he can see. Open his ears that he can hear. Father, I thank you that your hand is on him. Father, I thank you, your hand is on him. Father, I thank you that you have him hedged around and that he is your servant. Father, I thank you. I thank you. Your hand is on this man. Father, I thank you. You lead him in the path that you have laid before him. Father, I thank you. You lead him in the way that you have already determined for him. Father, I thank you. You bring him into the ministry that you have given him. I thank you, Father, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I give thanks. 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 I hesitated to do that, and God reminded me, Lester Sumrall, before he left for China to minister with Carter, he stayed at a woman's house that had a house for missionaries. And he said, this was a woman of God, and he said that he walked into her house, and she had just made a whole batch of fresh, hot, fried chicken. And his eyes were on the fried chicken. And she looked at him and said, before we eat, I got to pray for you. And she laid her hands on him and she prayed for him. And Les Summerall said he never forgot that. He said that sent him off. But that was a woman of God that prayed. And so that God reminded me of that. And I said, okay, I'll pray. I'll pray. I'll pray. Anyone else? I give thanks. Jesus, I thank you. I give thanks. I give thanks. Everybody cool? Amen. Well, thank you for coming. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the Ministers of Music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com. And on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.